some of the things that my teachers lectured about, because I know that I can do all things through Christ. And praise God. And by you young folks again, don't let nobody tell you that you are not going to amount to nothing. You believe that you're going to be a doctor, say, I'm going to be a doctor. If you believe that you're going to be a lawyer, say, I'm going to be a lawyer. If you believe that you're going to be a school teacher, say, I'm going to be a school teacher. Praise God. Say, I can do all things. That's hope. That's hope. Praise God. Some people say, well, you know, I can't read. It's better than somebody else. I can't do this. It's better than somebody else. But praise God. But let me tell you something. You lean and depend upon Jesus. He'll give you everything you need. One thing I was going to bring out in this text, not this text, but in this whole thing in dealing with the Colossian church, I mentioned the fact that in Colossus was a lot smaller than Laodicea and Hierapolis, that other, those two big cities. But guess what? God used the church in that little small town to do some mighty, mighty works. That's a message to us today. How can I say that? Praise God. You may not be in a church that's got the largest congregation. Come on. You may not be a person that has a 4.0. You may not have be a person that scored a 36 on the ACT. But guess what? You could take the 20 that you used, that you scored, and you could be successful in this life. Amen. So don't let nobody try to hinder you. Praise God. God has given us that hope. And if you have that hope in Jesus Christ, praise God. I'm sure, praise God, I said I'm 100% sure that Jesus is our only hope for salvation. I know that he's our only hope, praise God, for our life need. But finally, he is the only hope for eternity. He is our only hope for eternity. Amen. Colossians 1:5. Let's read that all over again. It says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth, and that is of the gospel. You see, the hope of Jesus Christ is an eternal certainty by pointing beyond life now to life forever after. My brothers and my sisters, there is life after death on this earth. Amen. Amen. How do I know that? I'm going to do three things and we're going to get out of here. First of all, Jesus personally promised it.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Amen. Thank God for the choir. Amen. Thank God for our minister of music and our associate.
Thank you, sir.
God is good.
Yes, he is right now.
And whether we know it or not, he's brought all of us from a mighty long ways. Don't think nobody should believe you brought yourself.
That's right.
Only by the grace of God that he woke us up this morning and started us on our way. begin to minister's wife, first lady, Sister Armstead, and to Sister Smith and Coleman, and to Reverend Coleman, all of our deacons and deaconesses and all who are present.
Yes, sir.
I just got to say God is good.
Yes, he is.
And his mercy is everlasting. Today, on this Lord's Supper Day, I'm going to talk about something that, you know, I always, in just about every church I've been in, the communion Sunday used to be the biggest Sunday.
Yeah.
But it seems strange when folk come in on every other Sunday but the communion Sunday. Now, God told us that's almost like a person saying when they're saved that they don't want to be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the ordinances of the church, and he said, do it in remembrance of me until I come again.
Yes, sir.
And I think everybody ought to remember God. A lot of times, the person I'm going to talk about trick people into believing if they did something wrong or something. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to stay away from communion because of what it says in Corinthians, he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh damnation to themselves, but none of us are worthy.
Amen.
Amen. And that's why we are told to examine ourselves. And when we examine ourselves, I don't know about you, but I always see where I fall short. And I ask the Lord for forgiveness. And so today, I would call your attention to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter number 6. And I think a lot of time as Christians, we forget that we got an enemy. And some folk don't even believe he exists.
Come on.
Sixth chapter of Ephesians, beginning at verse number 10. And we want to read from 10 through 13 with our emphasis, and where we draw our subject is in verse 11. Everybody got to say amen. All right, anybody need a little more time? Say, hold on. Let us all stand, please, for the reading of the word of God. And it reads, beginning at verse number 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yes, sir.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole arm of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and that having done all to stand. Grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You may be seated. Put on the whole arm of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And for a little while, I want to just deal with the subject and let us all know that Satan is real. That's what I'm talking about. Satan is real.
Yes, sir.
My brothers and sisters, Satan, the devil, is real.
Yes,
and he's working overtime in his deception of the Lord's people. And so let me begin by asking the question, who is Satan? Who is the devil? Well, let me say that some people believe concerning Satan range from the silly to the abstract, from a little red guy with horns and a pitchfork and a forked tail who sits on your shoulders urging you to sin, or to an expression used to describe the personification of evil. But the Bible, however, gives us a clear portrait, thank you, Ursus, of who Satan is and how he affects our lives. To put simply, the Bible defines Satan as an angelic being who fell from his position in heaven due to sin, who is now completely opposed to God, doing all in his power to thwart God's purpose. He does it by counterfeiting all that God does, hoping to gain worship of the world and encouraging opposition to God's kingdom. He is the ultimate source behind every false cult, every world religion, and he will do anything and everything in his power to oppose God as well as those who follow God. New Paul says in the text in verse 11 to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In other words, we are to put on all the armor that God gives so that we can defend ourselves against the devil's tricks. Because one of his main tactics is deception. And that's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and 11, 14, he said, no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. In other words, he tries to make himself look like an angel of light in order to deceive folk. Because the one big way Satan wreaks havoc in our lives is through deception. Because when Satan deceives us about who God is, who God says we are, and who he is, he gains power and authority in our lives. My brothers and sisters, Satan, yes, Lord, does exist. I'm trying to tell you he's real. And one of the most potent lies that Satan tells and wants folk to believe is that he doesn't exist. But the Bible says that the reason Jesus, the Son of God, appeared was to destroy the works of the devil, according to 1 John 3 and 8. And therefore, Satan has no more authority over those who are in Christ except when we give in to him by believing his lies. Satan is real, I tell you, because one is only to be aware of the immense power of evil all around us to be sure, assured of Satan's reality. There are atrocious crimes being committed in the world that can be attributed neither to man nor God. For instance, I was reading the other day where a woman in Australia murdered her husband, skinned him, and baked his flesh from his buttocks and served it along with vegetables and gravy to his children. Now, you tell me, who is the author of something this horrific? I tell you, nobody but Satan could entice someone to do such a heinous, evil thing like this. My brothers and sisters, Satan is real. Now, the first report of Satan activity came from a garden, and since his initial spotting, you can trace his murderous, malignant footsteps through the pages of history. But now, to understand Satan, we must know him for who he really is, and we can know the nature and work of Satan, the devil, by a close study of the Word of God, because Scripture gives ample insight into his reality. For instance, the Bible reveals that Satan has personality, meaning he is not just a figment of someone's imagination, because whenever the Bible presents Satan, it seems that he has personality, meaning he has personal qualities. And so in reading two biblical accounts of Satan's presence, we see his personal qualities, because we will note that when Satan came to Eve, he talked with her. Then when he encountered Jesus in the wilderness, he talked and reasoned with the master. And so from those two accounts, we can deduce that Satan has intellect and will. Now, Satan's personality is revealed by his name, because in the Bible, a person's character is reflected in his or her name. Now, the Bible uses many names to describe our leader, this leader of evil, such as the devil, Satan, Beelzebub, evil one, the serpent, the old dragon, the murderer, father of lies, the angel of light, and many others. And so let's notice what kind of person Satan is by looking at two of his names. First, the name Satan means adversary or opposer. Because wherever you find Satan, you'll find him in malicious opposition to God. Secondly, the name, yes, Lord, devil means, and let me just say, Satan and the devil are the same person. The name devil means slanderer, a false accuser. My brothers and sisters, the devil seeks to slander the good name and character of God, and he also is the accuser of the brethren, meaning he accuses us before God. And so by studying Satan's other names, it would yield an adequate description of the kind of being he is. But not only does he have personality, but he also, Satan has purpose. Men, my brothers and sisters, Satan's purpose can be seen by a study of his actions in the Bible. Because whenever you encounter the devil in Scripture, he's seeking to hinder the work of God. Because one of the devil's main tactics is to divide and conquer. And he does this through weak Christians who allow the devil's deception to rule their lives and set up the Holy Spirit. Because whenever you find a Christian always complaining, fighting against God's program, slandering the name of fellow Christian, refusing to give their tithes and offering for the support and upkeep of the church and its mission, and even trying to encourage others not to give, they are not being used by the Holy Spirit. They are being used by Satan and seeking to hinder God's work. And that's why the text says in plain and simple terms in verse 12, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against humans. We are fighting against forces of evil and authorities and against rulers of darkness and powers in this spiritual world. And that's why the text also says in verse 10 and 11, he tells the Christian, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might by putting on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of Satan. To put another way, let the mighty strength of the Lord make you strong. Put on the armor that God gives so you can defend yourself against the devil's tricks. And also, Satan seeks to prevent repentance, meaning he tries to keep people from opening their lives to Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says that the way he does it, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, is that the God who rules the world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light, which is the good news about our glorious Christ who shows us what God is like. My brothers and sisters, Satan uses various procedures to prevent belief or trust in Jesus Christ. And one of the most deceptive tricks he uses today is that Jesus and Christianity is the white man religion made up to keep black folk in bondage. But in reality, it's unbelief that's keeping us in bondage. Because the Bible says, according to Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Everyone who comes to him must believe that he's real and that he rewards everyone who searches for him. But even more, Satan seeks to hinder growth and commitment to Christ. Because after one becomes a Christian, I need to tell you, Satan is not finished with him. He's just starting. Meaning there remains a constant battle of the flesh and the spirit. And that's why the text says again in plain and simple terms in verse 13 through 17, be ready and let the truth be like a belt around your waist. And let God's justice protect you like armor. Your desire to tell good news about peace should be like shoes on your feet. Let your faith be like a shield, and you will be able to stop the flaming arrows of the evil one. Let God's saving power be like a helmet, and for a sword, use God's message that comes from the Spirit. And then verse 18 says, never stop praying, especially for those because whether you realize it or not, we are in a spiritual battle, and we are in this thing together. And so remember, one of the main tactics of the devil is to divide and conquer. My brothers and sisters, Satan seeks to prevent people from obeying God's will. Now, he even tried to tempt Jesus with three attractive proposals when Jesus was out in the wilderness. In the early church, he often called disturbance. On one occasion, Paul said to the Thessalonica church in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, he said, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us." But not only does Satan have purpose, but also Satan has procedures. And that's why the text warned the Christians against the wiles of the devil, meaning we must be aware of the tricks of the tempter, because Satan uses distortion. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 2:10 and 11, he said, concerning forgiving of others, he says, "Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, he said, I have forgiven in sight of Christ for your sake." Somebody might wonder why, he says in verse 11, "in order that Satan might not outwit us." Because we are not unaware of his schemes and devices, which could mean his sophisticated reasons, reasoning, because first he gets folk thinking in a distorted and doubting manner. Like in the case of Eve, encounter with Satan in the garden, she thought that she would become like God by following his satanic suggestions. Also, no more of an attractive, plausible proposal could have been presented to the Messiah than the three that was presented to Jesus in the wilderness. Satan's procedure is to distort the truth. Also, Satan used distractions because he always come disguised to distract a person from obeying God's will. The Bible says in James 1:14, it said, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Though Satan is not mentioned in this verse, his procedures can be seen, because he seeks to get humankind away from God with attractive elements of the world. And so we need to beware of Satan's cunning devices to draw us away from fellowship with God. Well, finally, before you take a nap, not only does Satan have procedures, but he also has power. My brothers and sisters, a casual observation of life around you will convince you of Satan's power. He's called the prince of this world, and yet we need to understand the biblical facts about Satan's power. Satan has a designated time of power because Jesus Christ defeated Satan on the cross. Paul says in Colossians 2:15, having small principalities and powers, he talking about Jesus made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. In other words, on the cross, Christ defeated all the powers and forces, and he let the whole world see them being led away as prisoners when he celebrated his victory. My brothers and sisters, by the cross, God disarmed and deprived Satan of all his demonic and all of his demonic horde of the power they once had. John, in describing the procedure that of Satan that persecuted Christians, he says in Revelation 12:11, the way they had victory is they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. In other words, the people defeated Satan because of the blood of the Lamb and the message of God. And that's why the text tells us in plain and simple terms to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to defend ourselves against the devil, because we are not fighting against human beings. We're fighting against forces and authorities, against rulers of darkness and powers in the world. He said, "Be ready and let the truth be like a belt around your waist, and let God's justice protect you like armor." Your desire to tell the good news about peace
should be like shoes on your feet. And let your faith be like a shield, and you'll be able to stop the flaming arrows of the evil one. Let God's saving power be like a helmet, and for a sword, use the word of God that come from the Spirit. But most of all, Paul said, never stop praying, especially for others. Always pray by the power of the Spirit. And then he says, stay alert and keep praying for God's people. Because between the resurrection and the Lord's final return, I tell you, Satan has power. But always keep in mind and remember that Satan has a designated day of doom, meaning God has marked a calendar on his calendar when the complete overthrow of Satan will be manifested. Because when the Lord comes for the final consummation of history, Satan's doom will be pronounced. But until that day, we need to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the tricks of the devil, because we have the victory in Jesus Christ. And the reason we have the victory is because one Friday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus, he hung, bled, and died for the sins of the world, fulfilling the prophecy of Genesis 3:15 that said the serpent's seed would bruise the woman's seed's heel. And the woman's seed, talking about Jesus Christ, would crush the serpent's head. And so he died that we might have the victory, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Because bright early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power and heaven and earth in his hand, defeating Satan, death, hell, and the grave. And so as I try to move to the close, I tell you, Satan, he's real. And God still grants Satan some authority in the world, which means that his power is not completely broken right now, except one power that is completely broken, and that is death. And that's why the Hebrew writer writes, he said, Jesus came as a man in order to destroy him who holds the power over death, which he had held from the beginning. That's why John said, he says, Satan was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. He's a liar and the father of lies. But in clothing, as children of God, we have the victory if we lean and depend on the Lord. If we put on God's spiritual armor, I tell you, we got to dress up for the battle, because Satan, he is real. He opposes God. And if you're not saved this morning by faith, you ought to give your life unto the Lord so that you can stand in victory against Satan. Because one day he will be completed. He'll be defeated completely. Because the Bible says in Revelation 20 and 10 that the devil that deceived them, he was cast in the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophets are, and they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. Yes, Satan is real. Yes, he has power, but my God got all power in heaven and earth in his hands. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Ain't God all right? I know he's all right. because I tried him for myself. As the songwriter say, I'm so glad that Jesus, he lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus, he lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus.